Well, good morning. How are we? Thank you. One student. Y'all don't even do that on Wednesdays. I appreciate the support this morning. Let's try again. How are we this morning? That's a little better, but we'll just move on. So I just introduced myself. I'm Lucas Ashley. I'm the student pastor here at GM. It's always an honor when I get the opportunity to speak on a Sunday. And Pastor Tim, if you will be watching and praying for him, he's had the opportunity to go speak at a revival this week. And so if you would lift up not just him, but the church, the community that he'll be speaking into, we know that's a church that we've had a relationship with in the past, a church that has blessed us, and a church that he continues to have the opportunity to go serve at and preach to. And so if you'll be just join us in prayer for them, for the church, for Pastor Tim as he's away and leads that church in a revival this week. I know he misses y'all, and he sends his love to you all. And wishes he could be here, but is excited about his opportunity to be able to serve another church over there. And so I want to lift him up in prayer this week and this weekend. This morning, as you were not too long ago, you're stuck with me again. So, haha. That's right. Thank you, Cameron. I appreciate that. My students are on fire this morning. I like it. Where's this on Wednesdays? I'm telling you, man. All right, we'll get there sometime. So, as usual, I want to start with a question, but this is an interactive question, so I'm going to need you to, like, raise your hand for an answer, okay? It's okay to talk back to me and even say it out loud, all right? It doesn't shy away from me. I deal with them every week, okay? You're not going to throw me, okay? You're not going to interrupt me. You're not going to cause me to lose my focus or attention, all right? So, I just want to know, how many of you deal with interruptions on a regular basis? Yeah, I do, okay? If they are any of yours, I know the answer is yes, right? How many of you have been interrupted at some point today already? Yes, right? I think the reality, and I hope you understand this, is that we deal with interruptions all the time, right? And they come in many different forms. They come in many different experiences, whether it's the 4 a.m. cannonball your child decides to do in your bed, because they figure, I'm up, so you should be up too, right? Or it's the flat tire on the way to work that interrupts your schedule, right? And all of a sudden, your day is just done. Or it's the text message, the phone call you weren't anticipating that completely just takes away your attention for the day. Or for some of you, if you're like me, it's that person who happens to have a birthday at the office that day, or someone just decides that they'll be nice and bring donuts for everybody, and boom, diet completely interrupted, right? It's just, we have these things every day seemingly that create interruptions in our life. And the thing that we usually do is that we view interruptions as a negative thing. These are things that deter us from what we're trying to accomplish. But what we're going to look at this morning is, I think, that what we see in Scripture is that there's a type of interruption that is not a barrier. It's not something that prevents us from going where we need to go. But instead, some interruptions in our life are actually a bridge. It's actually something that helps us get to where maybe we didn't realize we needed to be. Something that opens up a door that reveals a path that we did not know was there. So this morning, we're going to look through Moses' call from God in Exodus 3 and 4 and the interruption that that was in his life and see some lessons we can learn from that and some struggles that we face with being able to allow God to interrupt our life and to do what it is that he has willed for us to do. So if you would, let's look at Exodus chapter 3. Before we dive into that, though, we want to kind of catch you up on Moses' story. Most of you are probably familiar with Moses, okay? But Moses lived a life of interruption. His life was chaotic from the day of his birth. See, Moses was born in a time to where there was an evil king, and a Pharaoh, and he was afraid of the uprising of the Israelites, the Jews. And so he decided that he would issue a law that every male born of a Jewish family would be killed immediately at birth. Moses, being born, his family, his mother, to fight for his life, decided that they would put him in a basket, put him on the river, and leave him. And hopefully someone would find him. And of course, if you don't think God's funny, if you don't think God believes in irony, you have to know the rest of the story, right? Because who finds him? This is where you can interact with me. Thank you, right? Pharaoh's daughter. So long story short, Moses, who Pharaoh wanted dead because he was a Jewish newborn boy, ended up being raised under Pharaoh's household, eating his meals, getting his allowance, getting his education. He was raised in the palace of the man who wanted his life. Tell me God's not funny. That's a whole other story right there. But immediately Moses faced interruptions. And one day in the midst of being a prince, he walks out and he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite. And at this moment in time, he finds a confliction. And his life is interrupted, and he feels that this draw that he has to do something. Now, he fails. He goes a little overboard. He ends up killing the Egyptian. Buries him in the sand, hopes nobody sees. Days later, he goes and he sees two Israelites fighting and quarreling, and he tries to step in the middle of them, saying, if we're being oppressed, why should we oppress each other? And in that moment again, the man looks at him and says, are you going to kill me too? And he immediately knows he's caught, he's found out. And so he flees from Egypt to escape for his life. And he lands in a place called Midian where he gets married and becomes a shepherd. And this is where we pick up in Exodus chapter 3. So Moses has already faced a number of interruptions in his life. He went from being a newborn, fighting for his life without knowing it, to then being raised as a prince in the house of the man who wanted him dead, and then having to run for his life, going from wealth to poverty. And here we find Moses. He's in the field, he's tending his father-in-law's flock, and it says that as he's tending the flock, he sees something. He sees something that catches his attention. He sees a bush that is burning, but it's not being consumed. And I love this. There's a lesson in this alone. He says, I will turn aside and see this great sight. See, we're often in too big of a hurry. Do you realize that? And so there's things that we see that are often opportunities. But because they'll interrupt our routine, they'll interrupt the quickness of which we want to get through our day, we won't turn and go see them. But Moses immediately right here, it says, he sees this. And he says to himself, I will go and see what this is. And I love this. It says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him. When he saw that Moses was willing to go towards the interruption, he called out to him. Mark that as a mental note. It's something to consider. It didn't say that he reached out and he yelled for Moses in order to get his attention. When Moses decided to turn and see what it was, God called out to him. There was a role there that Moses played, a willingness, and we'll get to that a little more. So then we see in Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 7, this is what the Lord says to Moses. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppressions with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And just stop there. I got to picture Moses for a minute, right? Because remember, why did he have to run? Because he tried to stand up for the people. He realized the wrong that was being done. He realized the oppression, and he tried to step up. He tried to take his place and help, and he failed. And then years later, we see an encounter with God where God tells him, listen, I hear the cries of our people. I see their oppression. I can imagine Moses sitting there like, yes, thank you, it's about time. I'm glad you're gonna do something about it. I tried, I failed, your turn. Except, this is where the real interruption begins. Because God tells him, come, I will send you. Imagine Moses is, yeah, go do it, get him. Is there somebody else here? Like, I've tried this, right? I already failed. Obviously, someone else is better suited for the job. But Moses, he was the one that God called. He was the one who God decided to interrupt his life. You see, God interrupts people in very unique ways. God's not boring, right? And you consider Moses. God speaks to Moses through a burning bush, a phenomenon. You consider Jonah. He gets Jonah's attention by having him swallowed by a giant fish. Funny to us, probably not so much to Jonah, but we take humor in it now. You consider the crazy ways that he got a hold of people's attention. Paul, striking Paul blind on his way to Damascus, putting scales over his eyes so he cannot see. Even the disciples just walking down a beach saying, hey, you don't know me, but I want you to leave your job and come follow me, right? There's nothing boring about God. The way God intervenes, the way God calls us, the way that he interrupts our life is unique. Not just in how he does it, but it's unique in what he offers. You see, if we're going to change the way that we view interruptions, from being barriers that prevent us from doing what we want to do to possibly being bridges to help us do what we're supposed to do, we have to consider something. We have to consider the invitation included with the interruption. We have to consider the invitation that's included with the interruption. Because when you look at God, and when you look at his moments that he calls people, he calls them with an invitation to something. He doesn't just call to him for no reason. For Jonah, it was an invitation to go intervene on behalf of a nation. When he called Moses, it was an invitation to go do it again, to get it right this time, to help lead a nation of slaves to freedom. When you look at the call, the interruption of the disciples' lives, it was an invitation to go and become fishers of men, to change lives, to be the pioneers of a faith. When you consider his interruption of Paul's life, it was an invitation to be something different, to live a story worth living, to go from being a terrorist whose goal was to destroy religion to being a man upon whom the religion's back was built, a man of whom ended up writing 3/4 of the New Testament that we read and study. When you consider the invitation that lies within the interruption, when you begin to do this, you have to ask, what's God inviting me to? When you put something before you, what opportunity is God trying to create for me? What opportunity to serve? What opportunity to be a light, to be an example? What is God inviting me into? It's often that God will interrupt your daily routine. But we have to be willing to go see it. I can tell you countless stories of moments that I've had where I failed and succeeded in seeing that and allowing God to interrupt my life for a moment. But you see, we struggle with this. We struggle with this. And much like Moses, we struggle with allowing God to interrupt our lives. And there's a few battles that we face in this struggle. And the first is this. It's the battle of flexibility. Let's be honest. We are not flexible people. No matter how chill or calm you think you are, when you've made plans, you want those plans to go through, right? I've never considered myself this, and anyone who knows me and works with me can attest to this, this organized, like, I have a plan, this is when it's gonna get done. However, if you tell me we're having Taco Bell for dinner, I better have Taco Bell for dinner. Don't change my plans, right? If I know we're leaving at this time, I wanna leave at this time. Don't change my plans. You see, a lot of times we lack the flexibility that's required to experience the opportunity God has for us, because it changes our plans. It causes us to adapt. I've never been a morning person, but I want to be. It's kind of one of those things. I've never been a big reader, but I want to be, right? And so I try to go through a routine every once in a while where I try to get up in the morning before anyone else in the house is up, because I know that when it comes to my day and the busyness of our schedule, if I don't get my time in the Word first thing in the morning, it's probably not gonna happen. And so I have to try to get up before anybody else does. And I started really trying to do this a while back. And I was going through a really good routine. And I had one of those mornings. I was up early. I had my coffee. I had breakfast. I was reading. I was journaling. I was feeling super spiritual, right? And God's just throwing me nuggets of gold. And I'm like, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden, I hear the little pitter-patter of feet. I'm thinking, you're not supposed to be awake yet. And immediately, I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. I close my Bible. I'm like, let's get some breakfast. Get breakfast. We sit down. We hang out. A couple more days go by, and I'm keeping up with my routine. Then one morning again, a little pitter-patter of feet down the hall. I'm like, come on! I'm like, I'm only like 4 verses in. You can't wake up yet, right? She walks out, same thing. Hey, what are you doing? Nothing. Close my Bible. And I can remember getting frustrated about this. Like, all right, I'll have to get up a half hour earlier tomorrow. Then a few days later, it happened again. And at this moment, it was one of those teaching opportunities from God to me. Because this time, when Bella approached, her question wasn't, what are you doing? Her question was, Daddy, what are you reading? And I went to close my Bible, frustrated as usual, and something just kind of hit me. And I realized, man, this is an opportunity. It's not an obstacle I have to get over. This is an opportunity to teach my daughter God's word. You see, because I can remember growing up and spending the summers at my grandparents' house. And I'd wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and have to go to the bathroom. And every day, no matter what day of the week it was, my grandpa was in his study reading. He was diving into the word. He was on his knees praying. And I'll never forget that sight. And it hit me. I said, I want my daughter to see that in me. But better than that, I want to help her experience that. But I realized I didn't have the flexibility I needed. Because for me, she was interrupting my routine. But instead, we created this little culture where she'd come out every morning. She'd come sit in my lap and we'd read. We're in the Old Testament, we got to skip some things, but you know, we read. And every day she'd ask, Daddy, what are you reading today? What story are you reading today? And that interruption created an opportunity. Don't allow your inflexibility to keep you from the opportunity God puts before you. I promise if it's an opportunity God has put, if it's an interruption from God, it is worth changing your day. It is worth changing your routine. It is, I promise you. Those teaching moments when you're with your kids, they will go away. And some of you are in that path. You're in that timeline where you know you missed the years when they wanted to talk to you. And now what you wouldn't give for them to want to sit down with you in the morning and tell Bible stories. We cannot allow our lack of flexibility to hinder God's opportunities for our life. It's the same with work. You may be headlined to a meeting, but you pass by that friend, that person that you may even barely know. And you catch that look. You know it, you've seen it. And there's something in you that says you should stop and ask. You should stop and ask. But no, I gotta get to this. I gotta get to this. You see that person on the side of the road. You think, man, somebody ought to help them. You're right. Listen to Moses. Listen to God's call. I'm gonna send you. We have to gain the flexibility we need to fully encounter the opportunities God puts before us. We also battle with ability. This was a huge struggle of Moses, feeling that he didn't have the ability to do what God was calling him to do. In fact, he says this a number of times in Exodus 3:11. He says, but who am I that I should go? And then again in Exodus 4:1, he goes through the same mindset saying, but if I go to the elders, why would they listen to me? Well, what am I? He goes on, and my favorite is later in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, but God, I'm not eloquent. I don't talk so good. Don't send me. People won't listen to me. It's this idea that he battled with, this idea that he's not able to do these things. He doesn't have the ability that's required. But listen to me. If there's anything we learn from looking at God and looking at the calls he puts on people's lives, look at Moses. Look at the disciples. Average Joe's fisherman. He didn't go to the synagogues. He didn't go to the seminaries. He went to the blue-collar district. When you look at the people who followed him, he went to Levi, the tax collector, the man who was hated. He went to a terrorist and said, I choose you to build my church. I choose you to travel and to bridge the gap between Jews and Gentiles for the sake of the gospel. I choose you. Even Ananias, who was the one called to heal him, was like, are you sure about that? Because he didn't think he was able. Listen to me. Your ability is mostly based around your availability. It's mostly based around whether or not you are willing to be available to God. If you are willing to be interrupted. If you are willing to change your plans to God's plans because his are better. Because his lead to a life that's lasting, a life that actually means something. Because our ability isn't even based on us to begin with. Moses says, but who am I? He says, just tell him I sent you. In fact, let me give you some powers so that when you go before Pharaoh, he'll see that this is the power of God. When he calls the disciples, he says, listen, come with me and I will make you. I will make you what you are not. I will make you what you cannot do. I will make you fishers of men. It was always come follow me, not go and just do my will. It was come follow me. Let me make you into what you need to be. Because our ability comes from God anyways. Mary, when she looked down the impossible, the angel told her nothing is impossible with God. Joshua, when he was taking over the reins for Moses and he looked at the failure in the past and was trying to look at the future, God said, don't worry, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you look at David, a teenage boy who was just taking lunch to his brothers and he was willing to have his life interrupted and put his life on the line for the sake of defending the gospel. What did he say? He says, surely the Lord will deliver me. Because it's not about me, it's not about my ability. It's about me being willing to be used by God so that he can do what he wants through me. Because when we choose to say yes to God, we trade our strength, our weakness for his strengths. We trade our fame for his glory, our failures for his victory. Because it's about God. Our limitations do not hinder God's vision. Our personal limitations do not hinder God's vision for our life. Your willingness to be interrupted does. We battle with flexibility. We battle with ability. And then lastly, we battle with weight. We battle with weight in our life. I'm not talking Jenny Craig. I'm talking a weight that's unnecessary in our life. A weight that restricts us from doing what we want to and need to do. Who all has kids? You ever carried your kid? Does that restrict what you can do? Absolutely, right? I got brave the other day and took both kids to the mall to get some shoes for the kids. Bella, we found out later, she had strep, double ear infection, she was sick. So next thing I know, I'm carrying her on my shoulders, I'm pushing the stroller, I'm carrying bags, like someone's about to get hurt, and it's probably me, right? And of course, the elevator's way over there, and I ain't walking over there, so I gotta try to figure out the escalator, right? Like, that's death waiting to happen. It greatly restricts what I can do. But when you look at the weight in our life, things we hold on to, and the fact that it's usually by choice, we end up doing this, we end up finding, honestly, if you look back at it, the dumbest things possible. Just throw them on our shoulder and figure, all right, I can do this, right? You start to live life. Doesn't matter what that weight is. At first, it's easy. It's not bother you. It's like, ah, it's not that bad. I can deal with this. And then you keep living. And when you consider all of the weight, sometimes it's a sin that we just refuse to realize is ruining our life. A sin that's hindering our ability to be used by God. Sometimes it's a hurt, a lack of forgiveness, an unwillingness to look past someone else's faults and realize our own. Sometimes it's those other battles we talked about. Your constant refusal to change. That constant struggle of finding worth, of believing that you are good enough through Christ. And so just constantly carrying that weight, refusing to give it to God. And then you wonder why you're not seeing these great things in your life. You wonder why you're not able to do all of these great things that you see other people do. Well, it's because you got a gorilla on your back. The weight you're carrying is restricting you. And over time, it doesn't matter how big and tough you think you are, you will grow weary. When you consider all of this, the weights that hinder us, the beauty is the other side of it. That God is not in the business of building barriers that prevent you. God is in the building bridges to go over what barriers you think are impossible. That's his business. That's what he does. It's about you being willing to free up your flexibility, being willing to understand that it's not about your deeds and your ability and your giftedness. And finally, hopefully, getting to the point of realizing that the weight you're carrying is dumb. It doesn't need to be there. It's serving you no purpose. And you sit there, God, I'm just tired. God, I'm just tired. You consider two things, and we're going to close. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. The author says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It says if you want to run properly, you have to get rid of the weight. You have to set it down because it's hindering you. It's preventing you from doing and going where God's calling you, what God's requesting you to do. He says, look at the great cloud of witnesses, those who have set it down, those who have gotten rid of it. Because even Christ touched on this. He said in Matthew 11, he says, come to me who are weary and heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and light. He says, take your weight. Give it to me. And just feel what the difference is. Feel how you have that newfound freedom, this ability to actually move, to do things, to experience things. The less you carry alone, the more free you are to take on the unexpected. The less weight you carry, the more free you are to go. The easier it is to be interrupted, to go down a path that you had never seen before. But when you carry all of that with you, it's difficult. The beauty of what God says, and I love this, and we're going to close with this. He says, take my yoke upon you. The yoke is the things that tie two cattle together. Two cattle. He says, take my yoke. In other words, let me help you with this. Walk with me. He doesn't give you something lighter and say, now go figure it out, because he knows we'll just put more weight on it. He's saying, come next to me and walk with me, because with me, it's light. It's easier. With me, you can go places you couldn't go before. With me, you will live the life you were created to live. Living a life interrupted is a struggle. It's difficult because it requires flexibility. It requires an understanding of where our ability comes from. And it requires us to be willing to set down some things that, if we're honest, we just aren't ready to set down. But God looks and says, I'm ready, but I'm waiting because you're not yet. Some of you have some weight that you need to set down today. Because the reason you're having trouble passing that barrier is because you're too restricted. The reason you haven't been able to see God work in your life like you want to is maybe because you haven't been able to give the flexibility God's looking for. Because for you, it's God, I'm going to give you this little box. I want you to do great things. I want to change the world. But here's my schedule. Here's where I will go. Here's where I won't go. You really think I ever wanted to move my family to Odessa, Texas? Let's be real. Hey, we're city people. We like malls. We like sushi. We like traffic. But when God says go, you go. Because a life interrupted is a life worth living. I want to encourage you today to look at stories like Moses, to look at stories like the disciples, to look at stories like Saul, Paul, even Ananias, who was willing to look past and to be interrupted and go and face someone who was coming for his life. To look at them and ask, what could God do with me if I was willing to live a life interrupted? If I was willing to change my plans, to be flexible, if I was willing to look past my ability and look to His, what could God do with me if I was willing to set down the weight of worry, of pain, of doubt that has restricted me for so long? What could God do? Only He knows. But I assure you that it's a life worth finding out about. That it's an experience worth whatever it is you have to leave behind. Father, we come to you this morning, and I just thank you so much for the opportunity to have my life interrupted, because I know, I've sat down and I've had conversations with people, and it's not, oh, I wonder what God would do. It's, I wonder what I would have done to myself. I wonder where I would have ended up. Would I have the wife that I have in my life? Would I have the beautiful kids I have in my life? Would I have the friends, the community that surrounds me? If I hadn't allowed God to interrupt my plans and point me towards His. God, thank you for interrupting my life. Thank you for calling me to something different. Father, I pray that this morning that there's some people who are now at that moment where they're saying, I'm done. I don't want to carry this anymore. Take it, God. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Who are finally willing to lay down that weight that restricts them, to be flexible, and to realize that through God, you are able to do far greater things than you ever could imagine. Father, we love you, and we thank you, Father, for everything.